Well, hi, welcome back. This is Erin, and this is the Aha Moment. And I have Erin Backus here and Irene Barber. You can say hi, Irene.
Hi, everybody. So I'm Irene from Maine. And Erin, you're from Connecticut. You're hosting from Connecticut, correct?
Hosting, yeah. Originally from New York, but we are co-hosts of the Aha Moment. Just to give you guys an update about what exactly the Aha Moment is, we are horticultural therapists, and we wanted to kind of learn more stories about other horticultural therapists and their aha moments. And what we mean by that is that what was the exact moment that you knew that you wanted to be a horticultural therapist? There usually is one or two instances where, like, it just hits you, a light bulb hits. So we're going to be interviewing some horticultural therapists throughout the country. And today our first guest is Kathy. And Kathy comes from us from New Hampshire. And she works at the Monarch School of New England. And she is their horticultural therapist up there. Say hi, Kathy.
Hello, everybody. And I actually live in Maine. I'm with Irene on that one.
Oh, nice. Oh, how beautiful Maine is.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's gorgeous.
So Kathy is, well, she also is a licensed occupational therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So she, how long have you been at the Monarch School for New England?
Since 2006.
Okay. And you got your HTR when?
I believe it was 2016. I really had to think back. But it was such a long process because I started in 2009. But finally got my HTR in 2016.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And tell us. Go ahead, Irene.
You started working at the Monarch School before you became a horticultural therapist. Is that right?
Yes. I went to work there as an occupational therapist. And one of the things that attracted me about the school was in the occupational therapy department had already been using horticulture as a form of therapy.
That's awesome.
And they had a greenhouse, and I was just like, oh my goodness, this is a real thing? but they weren't calling it horticultural therapy incorrectly. So I noticed it was on their brochures, horticultural therapy, which I'd never heard of course.
Yeah.
But I looked it up, and I came across the American Horticultural Therapy Association and read what it is to be a horticultural therapist. And I thought, uh-oh, we should not be calling what we're doing horticultural therapy.
And can you elaborate why it was inappropriately or incorrectly being called horticultural therapy at the time before you became the therapist?
Right. Well, because you need to have a registered horticultural therapist.
That's right, Kathy. That's right.
Guiding the program. A plug for horticultural therapy there in order to call it a horticultural therapy program. So, in effect, they were doing a therapeutic horticulture.
Great. That's great.
They were still working on occupational therapy goals, using horticulture as a medium. But I really wanted to take it the next step so that we could, legitimately call it horticultural therapy. But I didn't know it was going to take me from 2009 to 2016, but it was so worth it. I mean, it was such a fun, interesting thing to do. I'm no spring chicken. I'm 61 now, so I was in my 50s when I started this, and some of my courses were online, and I'd never done that before. Mm-hmm. So asking my adult girls, hey, what do I do? What's this?
Because you took a few classes at Chicago, right?
I didn't do Chicago. I did New York Botanical Garden. In fact, my first course that I ever took was 2009, and that was Intro to Horticultural Therapy at the New York Botanical Garden.
So what was online?
Online was more the horticulture courses.
Oh, okay.
You know, I went through the AHTA website and found all the requirements, so I had to get all my horticulture credits because I had never taken any college courses in horticulture. So I did Texas Tech University and North Carolina State University online courses. And then I did take one integrated pest management course at a local community college where Irene got her horticulture degree.
So you did Maine Community College.
Good. Yeah, and I love that. Oh my God. So good. And my father was an entomologist, so I was just geeking out all over the place.
I love entomology. It's my favorite.
I love
insects.
I did not know I liked it. I hated it when I was a kid and he had these jars that the neighbors would bring them. They were jars of insects that he'd have lined up in the kitchen.
Either you're hated or you're grossed out, one or the other, right? So,
do your kids like insects now?
My kids that I work with?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them. I think it's a matter of exposure. Some of them don't realize that many insects are good. Mm-hmm. So they just, you know, been taught to kill all insects. So that's been a big thing that I've had to teach them, that many of the insects are beneficial to the garden.
Oh, definitely. And what's the exact population that you work with?
I work with students who have significant disabilities, and they are from ages 5 to 21. And it's a private school, private nonprofit. So these students are sent by their districts when they don't have an appropriate program for them.
Yep.
So we see about an hour radius of Rochester from New Hampshire, southern New Hampshire and southern Maine. But all kinds of students that have different kinds of disability. Or we do have quite a few now with emotional disabilities, autism. So a wide spectrum.
And you have some, because you have some really cool adaptive tools in your program. Mm-hmm. I was able to shadow you watch a couple of your sessions, and it was just so interesting. All of your tools that you got to use in your program. That was really, really cool.
For the children who have really limited fine motor abilities, we use a lot of switch operated devices. So we have waterers that are, all you have to do is hit a button, a large button switch, and it's attached to a watering device, that kind of thing.
And I'm sorry, you called it a switch. What kind of device?
Switch operated device, device. So you can hit, attach a switch to a lot of battery operated tools.
Yeah.
So we have a waterer. What else? Yikes. It's a pause.
You have like a soil thing too, I remember. Like they were able to like help with the soil, I thought, somehow.
Yes.
It was so interesting.
It's a tool, or it's a, it's basically a cup that turns over when you hit this button. So you can put anything you want in it,
right?
Like water or soil, that kind of thing.
That's so cool.
And do you get the tool? Because, I mean, you're talking about them, and I think what some people would appreciate to know is some of the resources for finding tools such as this.
Yeah. A great one for switch-operated devices is Enabling Devices, it's actually called. There's a company called Enabling Devices.
Yep.
Yeah.
The gentleman's name that I recall from your suppliers, it was like somebody's last name, or it's, I couldn't recall. Now I can't recall that as I'm saying this. But does that ring a bell at all?
Somebody's last name.
Yeah.
I'll have to think about that one. But it depends on the students. So those would be kids with limited fine motor skills, but for kids that are really sensory seekers who love stimulation, like the vibrating seating devices are really interesting to them. They love the vibration. So it's very motivating for them to use that device. Would be another example.
Kathy, I do want to ask you, what brought you to this actual population? What brought you to the Monarch School? What were the building blocks of your, you know, career to get you to where you are now?
Yeah. Well, I've always been a pediatric occupational therapist. So since 1980, I was an occupational therapist in lots of different settings, a lot of schools, outpatient clinics. I actually was a professor for a while at the University of New England.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, clinical assistant professor. And
in occupational therapy or in what?
Occupational therapy, yes. But okay. I was in a car accident in 2003, I believe. So I had to leave because I really had a head injury and post-concussive syndrome. So I left occupational therapy for 3 years and actually became a realtor. Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, because it had flexible hours and, you know, anybody with post-concussive syndrome knows that you get very tired and easily overstimulated, but... Mm-hmm. Being a realtor allowed me to come home and sleep, you know, really set my own schedule.
Great.
But after 3 years, I was ready to go back to OT, and Monarch School sounded like a good fit. And that's what happened.
Cool.
Had you worked with that population before, Kathy?
Yes. In fact, I had a master's in OT with a specialization in developmental disabilities from New York University. So that's always been my specialty.
And Kathy, what was your like aha moment from switch from occupational therapy to horticultural therapy? What was the defining moment that you would consider that to be your aha moment?
Well, I don't know if there was just the one other than, knowing that I just had to get that horticultural therapy registration. I was so excited to go back to school and learn more because I had always loved gardening.
That's great.
I always loved digging in the dirt. I had thought I might want to be an archaeologist, but that was just too painstakingly meticulous. So, so I think it was just when I saw how motivated the kids were in gardening activities.
Definitely.
That I could certainly achieve many of the same type of goals using gardening as a medium as I could using other materials, and how much more interesting to use actual living things rather than like plastic blocks or something
That's true.
And plus the setting itself is so conducive to stress reduction, and so many of our students have a lot of anxiety, and in the garden, they just feel more relaxed or just more interested to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So did I have an aha moment? I think it was this whole series of aha moments.
Oh, yeah. Please tell us. But Irene had a few.
Seeing that garden and that greenhouse for the first time definitely made me think I wanted to work here. And then when I learned about that there was such a thing as a horticultural therapist, I thought, well, that just brings everything together that I love. I love the garden. I love working with kids and working in therapy. And how could such a thing like this exist? And I didn't even know about it.
Yep.
And then to go to school and learn officially about horticulture and horticultural therapy. It was just like a dream come true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I think
also my staff, the school, the administrators and the whole school recognizes the value of horticultural therapy. So they've been very supportive of me.
They are.
This and, you know, helping me financially through the schooling and so they recognize the need for for me to just transition from being an occupational therapist to being a full-time horticultural therapist. So
they definitely are so supportive.
Yeah, so to just being in the right place of administrators who value horticulture and students being active in nature, and it's made such a difference.
And
involved are your coworkers with any of your
They're awesome. Yeah.
I mean, do they come in? Do they engage with their students with you as you oversee a horticultural therapy activity, exercise, etc.?
Yes, all the students have a one-on-one assistant who comes with them to horticultural therapy sessions. So we call them gardening. So they all come, and they love it. Many of them say it's what they call their favorite class. not everybody, but many of them love it and just say, oh, I could stay here all week, or I wish we could just stay here.
And you start gardening time, like, don't you have a saying to start gardening sessions? I love it. What's your saying?
Oh, well, I just say, well, welcome to gardening, and I just greet each student, and I have a symbol, a Mayor Johnson symbol, that is the picture for gardening, for especially for students with autism who understand pictures better than words.
Yeah.
Then I just greet each student, and they greet me back, whether it's words or using their communication device, and we just say it's time for gardening.
Yeah.
And then we usually have a song related to the activity, and that is on a single switch device as well.
That's what I'm talking about, the song, yeah. The
song, yeah.
It is so great.
Amazing what you can find that there's music related to whatever you're doing in a horticulture way. So, anyway, where were we?
I know. I sidetracked for you because I just love the song. I was so impressed with, like, oh, it's gardening time, and like they really get into it, and that's really how they transition into that time. And it's so important for, especially with kids with autism, to have a transitioning time.
Yeah. And a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
And to have a familiar sequence, and that's why it's the same every time.
Yeah.
As far as your year-round programming, how have you adapted to the landscape of offering hort therapy in Maine year-round?
Good question.
That is a good question. We do have a heated greenhouse at our elementary school. We have two schools. It's one school, two sites. So we have an elementary school and we have a high school. And the elementary school is an older site, and that's where they already had an established garden. Well, not an established garden. They had a greenhouse, and we've been building the garden ever since.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a heated greenhouse, so we do all our sessions in the greenhouse in the winter. And as I said, we've been developing these gorgeous garden. In fact, we took the Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens gazebo design.
Woo-hoo.
The pavilion. Yep.
Yeah.
If listeners don't know, Irene works at the Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens as a horticultural therapist. So just to give you a heads up about that.
And it's been the source of much of our
inspiration
for our gardens at our school. And we've just, we have our new high school, and we have a horticulture room. So that's year round. Because it's there in the winter, and when it's really hot, it's air conditioned. But we're just now finishing, in the final phase of building a therapeutic garden at our high school. In fact, today our water pond was finished.
Nice.
A waterfall, and it's just gorgeous. And now it's time to plant everything.
Yeah. How fun.
Oh, it's so fun. And it's been years in the making.
Yeah.
Because to raise the money, it's all been through donations and grants. So.
Wow.
We had to raise $80,000, but
wow.
It's a lot of time, but it's just so fun to see something you've worked for so long come to fruition.
Yeah.
Irene, you had asked about who, the staff supporting the sessions, and it's not only the one-on-one assistance, but also a lot of different therapists will come in, therapists and teachers will come in, and they call it pushing in to another therapist session. And for example, a speech therapist might come in and work on speech goals during gardening. So I get a lot of the other therapists coming in too. So that's great because we can really collaborate.
And I think that's an important facet of horticultural therapy, is that it is a complementary modality to these other therapies. And that we as a practice need to be more integral in networking with these other specialists and therapists. And I think it would be, from this podcast opportunity is to branching out and reaching that network, connecting those specialties together. So, you should talk to some of your colleagues on this matter someday down the road.
Oh, yes. And they are such big supporters of gardening, and I could not do it as well as I do without them because, they just add such dimension to the program, communication, and I am an occupational therapist, but oftentimes the occupational therapist that comes who specifically has that child on their caseload just knows them all that better, and can really hone in on what they want to work on. So, and the physical therapists are great too when we're moving around the garden, working on mobility and balance and posture. So all things that we work on as well as horticultural therapists, but they really are specialists in those areas and can really support for sure.
And as far as today's relevance on, something that's very significant that we're all going through now, this pandemic, how is that being carried out at the Monarch at school? How are you connecting with these students?
Good question.
Is that happening?
Well, that was a real learning curve for me, everything's so hands-on in horticultural therapies. So as a school, we've embraced virtual teaching through Google Classroom.
Yep.
And I learned how to do iMovies.
they're great.
The pictures are still rotated or whatever, but I have been doing videos for the kids on what they can do at home, so my kitchen and things that hopefully they already have the materials for. Like I did one on kitchen scrap gardening. I did a sensory walk through the forest.
I loved that walk.
Being more in nature and trying to have them virtually hear, make, smell, see. If you even talk about taste, and of course my dogs are in the video. So, some of the students, especially my real garden helper lovers, I have some kids that really just are dying without gardening.
Yeah,
they have they're fostering plants for me at home, and I'm mailing them different activities.
That fostering the plant at home. That is so wonderful.
Yeah, so I've got staff and students fostering all our plants while we are in shutdown, and they continue to do so. So it becomes part of their being at home to take care of them.
I love that.
Learning. And I'm sending another student different seeds and materials so you can have a salad garden. It's a little tricky because he lives in an apartment. So I'm trying to send things that will live inside adequately.
Oh my gosh. I love that.
Packaging seeds for me. Every March we do a big seed fundraiser and we package seeds from bulk that we get in bulk from Fedco. So many of the students were packaging their seeds at home. So it's a lot of mailing materials and videos. We do a theme every year in our garden, usually related to the academics. Last year, believe it or not, we had an amusement park garden. They were learning about physics and speed and centrifugal force and everything. So But this year, I think I'm just going to do a giving garden.
Ah.
Grow more vegetables. I'm kind of partial to flowers, but I'm going to grow more vegetables this year. And distribute them to some of our families that are struggling with finances.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't know when our kids are coming back. So we still haven't heard officially if they're not coming back for the summer, but hopefully for the fall. I'm also going to do videos of how the garden is progressing.
Yeah.
See what the changes are, especially the high school garden, which they were going to help me plant.
Mm-hmm. But,
yeah.
Kathy, your videos are so great. And I know you talked about the support you have in your local Monarch school in general. You have such good support. Who do you reach to, or do you feel that you have support on the outside horticultural therapy profession?
In the horticultural therapy profession or in horticulture in general?
No, the horticultural therapy profession. Do you have, what is your relationship with them?
With the horticultural therapy. Oh, well, I feel very supported. I mean, there's not many of us.
I know.
We're not many of us.
We're a small profession.
Very dynamic group. And, Erin, of course, you have been my mentor since
Aw, thank you.
You were my distance supervisor and I learned so much from you because an internship is required, and you came to me and got me through my internship. And Irene, I learned so much from you as well up there at the Botanical Garden, taking all your courses. Even our local chapter, the Northeast Horticultural Therapy Network,
mm-hmm.
I'm on the board. I'm the secretary, even though I hate to write. I don't know who cajoled me into that.
I might have.
But it's been really stimulating and fun to be with this dynamic group of women and men who have like interests and are trying to get this young and somewhat unknown profession off, you know, out in the world.
Definitely.
That others know about it. And the non-horticultural therapy community just loves the idea of horticultural therapy. You know, the garden clubs,
mm-hmm.
we get a lot of support from the garden clubs. They think it's just the coolest thing. And the banks have given us, you know, our local banks and a lot of the local businesses
really
think it's the most wonderful thing.
Local banks. Talk more about that.
Well, it's not me who brings in the money. It is, we have a wonderful community engagement person who gets all our grants and brings in the people from the community. I think Amanda Martineau must have a magic touch. But people rally around this thought of using gardening and horticulture as therapy, and they love the idea of helping to build a garden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been very great.
That's a blessing. You're very fortunate.
Yeah,
you definitely sound like you have a full community around you. That's great.
Yes.
And no, I think what's really great is you pointed out how horticultural therapy is appreciated by so many outside community members with a limited understanding as to what it really can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully we'll continue to, like you were saying, you were very new to horticultural therapy, and so many of us who become horticultural therapists were very you know, unaware that this actually is a practice that can be taken seriously of. And few of us have really delved into it. And I think you are a great example of the fact that you have a career, you've been happy in your past career, and you still wanted to find greater, you know, opportunities in horticultural therapy. Would you say that that's an accurate statement, or do you think maybe it's interpreting?
Well, yeah, I always loved occupational therapy, but, you know, I've been doing it for a long time. I was ready for a change, but without completely leaving it. And this has been perfect, and I think for a lot of different professions, horticultural therapy would be a wonderful supplement.
Right.
To be able to meaningfully use gardening activities in a therapeutic manner, no matter what kind of therapist or teacher or professional you are.
Right.
I think it really has so many benefits that can really enhance, you know, anything. So for me, it was just a nice way to do my golden years of my career.
Kathy, that sounds, it definitely is wonderful, and your program sounds amazing, and it is amazing, and I've seen it firsthand, and I do want to thank you so, so much for being here tonight and spending the time with us to tell us about your program and your aha moment. So I just want to say thank you so much again. Do you have last words for the listeners to say?
Do I have last words?
Yeah.
Oh, well, learn about horticultural therapy. Look into it. See if it's something you might be interested in pursuing. And if you already are a horticultural therapist, reach out to others and spread the word.
No.
Get yourself while you're at it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And dip what you preach. Enjoy
Kathy, we learn from you as well. And that's something to keep in mind, is that we're here to learn from each other. So that is a really great reminder, for sure. So,
right.
Yeah.
Always can learn more. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Irene, Kathy, this is Erin. We'll
and
see.
Irene, we're coming from Maine, and Kathy from Maine, and Erin from Connecticut.
We will see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we'll be here another 2 weeks with a new guest with more inspiration to share. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
All right. There.